Hey everyone, welcome to our podcast. I'm Daphne.
And I'm Gina.
And this is This Week in Skating.
We heard from many of you that you enjoyed hearing IceDance.com journalist Ann Calder share her experience at the 1994 U.S. Championships, so we are back with episode 2 of Storytime with Ann.
The Goodwill Games was an international sports competition founded by Ted Turner, an American entrepreneur and TV producer who founded the cable news network, CNN, the first 24-hour cable news network, and then TBS. He founded the Goodwill Games to help ease the tensions between the Western and Eastern Bloc nations after the boycotts of the 1980 and 1984 Summer Games.
Well, Anne attended the 1998 Goodwill Games in Long Island with some of her friends, and you'll never guess the people that she met while she was there. So we are looking forward to talking with Anne about the Goodwill Games. Hi, Anne. Welcome back.
Welcome back, Anne.
Well, it's good to be back.
We're so glad to have you with us. We've heard these stories before, and I am kind of, you know, blown away by the response we got to the first episode of Storytime with Anne. So it was really a no-brainer that we want to continue this. Anne has tons of little stories that she's been sharing with us over the years. And I think we're just really excited to help her get to share that in a much bigger way by sharing it with our audience.
Yeah.
So, Anne, we are just going to get started. What brought you to the Goodwill Games?
Well, we had been reading about it, many of my skating friends. And, of course, Nagano had been held, the Olympic Games. And we had heard that many of those skaters were going to come and perform at the Goodwill Games. Now, in March, when we were all up in Minneapolis for the World Figure Skating Championships, we talked about it, and I volunteered to buy the tickets, and someone else was going to find a hotel, and there were five of us that decided to go. And that was how we actually made the decision and then eventually went.
So was it, because the Goodwill Games is sort of like an Olympic Games where there were more than just figure skating going on. So did you get your tickets? Was it just for the figure skating events, or did you get to see other events as well?
Well, the Goodwill Games were held for 2 weeks in New York City, 1998. And what happened was most of the events that were held were in New York City, were at Madison Square Garden, Woolman Rink, and whatnot else. But it's very interesting because when they decided to do the Goodwill Games, and this kind of goes back a wee bit in history, the first one was 1986. But then in 1990, when they held it, it was a summer game. But they decided to invite these skaters and hockey to the event up in Seattle, Washington. And that was the beginning of inviting skating. They dropped the hockey, but they continued with the figure skating. So it was rather strange to have the skating in the middle of all of these various other things like basketball, wrestling, gymnastics, and beach volleyball, and all of these other things. But the skating was the second week, and it was held out in Long Island at the Nassau Coliseum. They also had swimming out there at the same time. But as far as my ticket was concerned, we only bought tickets for figure skating. So that's all we were allowed to do.
Now, what was it like at this arena? I mean, I remember this competition because I had it on VHS tape so I could rewatch it back when, you know, you recorded skating so you could watch it again and again back in the days of tape trading. And there were lots of things that skating fans used to do to help each other kind of get, exposed to different skaters. In some cases, it involved tapes from overseas and you had to get them converted and all of that stuff. But I remember this competition. So what was it like at the arena? Were there a lot of people there to watch?
Yes, there were. And the first night we got there, we weren't sure about where our location of our seats were going to be because I had bought them on the phone. And all I had at that time, we didn't have Wikipedia and all of these great things where you could go and look and see where your seat was and who would be sitting maybe beside you if there was going to be an empty seat or whatever. And so we were surprised. We got to the arena. It was Wednesday through Sunday, actually Saturday. Sunday was exhibition. And so we got to the arena Wednesday night, and we were kind of apprehensive about what we were going to actually, where we would sit. And it turns out we were in the center ice third row.
Wow.
So we were thrilled.
Nice seats.
And so, yes. And a lot of people there. And it was not very warm, very cold because people were in shorts and whatnot, which seemed, again, strange to see skating. And it was in the middle of the summer. So that was not usually when you saw big skating events at that time. Maybe Champions on Ice or some of these exhibitions at that time, but not competition. So we got there for the first night, and it was payers short, and it was men's short. And it was fun, and we enjoyed it. We saw familiar faces that we had seen actually in Minneapolis. So we kind of waved and saw. It was fun. And so that was the first night. And very uneventful, just enjoyed the skating.
Now, this was a couple months after the Nagano Olympics. So were a lot of the Olympians at this event? I can't remember. I'm trying to remember who competed at this event.
Well, for example, for the men, we had Todd Eldridge. We had Alexei Ermanov, Evgeny Plashenko, Michael Weiss, Timmy Gable, Takeshi Honda, and Stephen Cousins for the men that first night. And for the payers, we had Elena and Anton pre-2000, Oksana Kazakova and Artur Dmitriev, and Shen and Zhao from China, Christy Sargent and Chris Wirtz from Canada, and Johnny Siegler and Tiffany Stiegler, who were just a brand new payers sibling team. So that's who was there that first night.
So you said the first night was uneventful. What happened on the...
Nothing much, just skating, and it was fun. So, but we knew the next night we were going back, and we knew the next night was going to be really fun because it was going to be ladies. And we knew Michelle Kwan was going to be there, and all of the Russians, Maria Butryskaya, and Irina Slutskaya, and Angela Nikodinov for the U.S. And unfortunately, Nicole Bobek was supposed to be there, but she backed out. So we knew it was going to be a very fun night. And then, of course, the dancing, unfortunately, they just had four dance teams. Angelique Krylova and Oleg Ovsyannikov, who were the silver medalists in Nagano. Irina Lobachova and Ilya Averbuch, they were fifth. And Elena Grishina and Ruslan Goncharov, who now is very active in the United States in the coaching field. The one American team was Jessica Joseph and Charlie Butler. So we were pretty excited about what was going to happen. And we got there and sat in our seats. And we had taken some sweaters and whatnot, and we had purses. And so what we did was we put everything in the seat in front of us because nobody was sitting there. And everything was fine. And they were just getting ready for the ladies to skate. And the usher came down the aisle and informed us that we had to move all of our paraphernalia onto our laps and get it out of those chairs, which was fine. And as we sat there for a few more minutes and the ladies started, I think, I can't remember who it was that was on the ice, but one of the women was, and all of a sudden we heard this noise coming from the aisle and we could hear people sloughing down. And all of a sudden they came down and they came right in front of us. Well, one of the people who was with me was very angry. And she informed them of it. She told them that they had to learn protocol. And who did they think they were? And by this time, I had recognized who they were. It was Jane Fonda and Ted Turner. Ted, of course, we know, was running the show, and Jane was his wife. Well, that didn't help the person who was upset. She felt that was even worse because those people should have known better. So they sat down, and Jane turned around, and she was very apologetic. She just couldn't say, "I'm sorry," enough times. She said, "The usher insisted we wanted to not wait, to wait," and whatever. So we started conversing with Jane because she wanted to learn about the skating and about the ladies and what they were doing and the jumps and why their hands were up in the air and why they were doing all kinds of spins and whatnot. So the conversation was kind of nice. It went on for a while, and we chatted. And then at one point, there was a Zamboni sweep. And during the Zamboni sweep, Mr. Turner turned around and he asked the five of us, were we locals? We said, no, we had come from another state, other states. And he said, well, where? And we all introduced ourselves by our states. There was Michigan, there was Arizona, there was Pennsylvania, there was New York City, and there was Michigan. And he was shocked that we had come to his games from that far away. And he said, are you having a good time? And we said, oh, great. Well, is there anything that you aren't happy with? Well, immediately my friend, who had already gone, made a little reputation by chatting with Jane, informed him that she would be much happier if we were allowed to go to practice. And he said, what is that? Well, where the teams or the skaters practice before, during the day, in the evening, etc. Well, he said, is that usual? She said, yes, it is. And he said, well, let me see what I can do. So he got on this little tiny little phone and he called someone to come up, his director of competition for TBS. And the man came. Michael was his name, introduced himself and informed us that don't worry about it. We'll get you into skating, into practice. No problem. All you have to do is meet me tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock at the gate to the Coliseum with an identification and we'll let you in. And we were kind of excited. We thought that was great sport. So anyway, the Zamboni was all finished and we resumed the skating. And I had a bag of Beanie Babies sitting by my feet. And so I started to take the Beanie Babies out to throw one and two out on the ice. And Ted Turner turned around and said to me, what is that? What are you doing? I'm throwing these out to the skaters. Why do you do that? Why don't you just give them to them? No, we're throwing them out. It shows that we admire them and we're happy for their skate. Can I throw one? I was a little hesitant and I kind of gave him, I guess, a strange look. And he said to me, listen, he said, I own a baseball team. I own the Atlantic Braves. If you think I can't throw one of those things out, I can throw a baseball. I said, fine. So I gave him a couple of the Beanie Babies and he was so happy and so excited. And it made him very happy. So that night we left, went back to our hotel rooms and got up the next morning. And at 10 o'clock, we met Mike over at the entrance to the Coliseum with our little identification licenses. And we went inside and we looked around and all there were people on the ice. There wasn't a single soul anywhere in the arena. Nobody. So, of course, five of us, we sat right down. And immediately, Maria Butryskaya came up to us and said, what are you doing here? And we told her that we were here to watch. No, no people here. No people here. And we said, what? We have identification. We have passes. And we showed our passes. So she was not happy with us. So that was the story of the end of that.
So did you get...
Then, of course, we had the next...
Did you keep going to the practices? You didn't leave after she...
No, we just went. It was very cold in there. And we didn't... We were so excited. We just ran. And we didn't really bring our sweaters or our jackets. And we didn't have them because it was warm. It was July. And we didn't have those heavy things to go to the event. So it was cold. So we stayed about 45 minutes. We wanted to make sure that we at least made our presence known and whatnot. So that was the morning. So in the afternoon, we knew we were going to be going to skating again that night. And so as we were walking by the little florist shop that they had at the hotel, one of our friends said, you know, we should probably get some flowers, one for Jane and one for Ted, to thank them. And just on the outside chance that they are there. And I kind of said I didn't think Ted was the flower type, but that's okay. We'll give it to him anyway, and maybe he can throw it out on the ice or do something with it. But anyway, so we took them with us, and we went and had some dinner, and we got to the arena. And we got to the arena. There were maybe six men.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50. In order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
In suits, crawling around down at our seats. They were all over the place. They had flashlights and they had all kinds of things all over these seats. And we thought, oh my Lord, what is going on? Are they doing that for Ted Turner and Jane Fonda? They didn't do it the night before, but anyway, so we sat down, they sat down, and we had the beginning of the men. We had first the payers and then we had the men. So at the beginning of the payers, we heard this noise again, and it was another entourage coming down the aisle towards our seats. This time, there were more men in suits with earbuds, and we knew then there was more to this whole story. So by the time they got here and sat down, we recognized that not only was there Jane Fonda and Ted Turner, but there was former President Jimmy Carter and Mrs. Carter along with them. So it was really kind of exciting. And we understood then why the Secret Service were there. So they sat down, and immediately after they sat down, Mr. Turner said to President Carter, I want you to meet my friends. These are our new friends. And he turned around and he pointed to each one of us Michigan, Arizona, Pennsylvania, New York City, and Michigan. He knew every single one in order. Well, we exchanged these little niceties with the president and his wife, and they turned around and they were getting ready to, the skating was getting ready to start. And then my friend, she pulled out the two little flower bouquets and she started to give them to Jane. And as she did, one of the guys in the first row leapt over the first row onto the second row, onto us, and said, "What are you doing with those?" Because Mrs. Carter was sitting right next to her. So he took the flowers and he went through them, examined them, pulled them apart, pulled it here, pulled it there, and then turned around and handed it back to my friend, who in turn gave both of them to Jane. And she was all excited. We thanked her for what had happened and whatnot. And she in turn gave each one of us a Goodwill pin, which I still have. And so it was exciting. It was fun. We got to meet them. There was one thing. That same Secret Service guy came back up to us and said, walked right up between, the aisles had kind of a lot of space between, and said, "Ladies, no talking to the guests." And we kind of looked like we were taken back because the guests were talking to us.
Yeah.
So we followed his suit and we didn't talk to them anymore. And so at the end of the event, President Carter and Ted walked out onto the ice and presented medals. And then everybody waited for them to leave. And then it being the last event of the evening, we all got up and left and went back to the hotel.
Wow.
That's so cool.
You never know, I guess, yeah. When you're at a competition, who's going to be sitting around you.
Right. And it's so interesting that they weren't like in a box or in a suite up above, that they were literally in the row sitting in the seats like anybody else right in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. It was exciting. And at the same time, I think seeing the Secret Service was a little scaring in a way, because we realized that they were there to protect. And I remember myself personally thinking, well, they're in the front row, but I'm in the row behind them. So it was kind of like protection, but we were protecting them too, in a way. But it was very nice. They were very nice people. And it was a fun experience.
Did anyone else around you notice them in front of you or say anything, like whisper amongst themselves? There's the president and his wife. And was like there a lot of talking around you about it?
No, not too much. Okay. Not too much at all. It was kind of, and I don't even, as I sit back and I asked one of the people who was with me, I chatted with her last night. And we kind of started throwing around some of the stories to see how much we both could remember. And I said, I don't remember anybody sitting behind us.
Okay.
And I actually don't, at least in the row behind us. So I don't know if they had cordoned off as far as selling tickets and whatnot, but I don't know how we got to buy the tickets. Maybe it was because I did it on the phone. Or I have no idea. But both my friend and I remember that there was nobody sitting behind us. The seats were, people were sitting back. But we did get stopped a couple of times. I know, in the hotel, asking me how we had gotten involved with the group. And we just said, purely accidental. Where our seats were located, that's all.
They thought you were associated with Ted Turner and the president and Jane Fonda.
It was fun.
That's pretty amazing. And that is just, the second of a bunch of different stories that you have for us. Because I know I've gone to nationals since 2006, but you've been going for such a long time beyond that. And just all of your experiences, I think. People really love it. They love to hear about what you've been up to. And
yeah.
Because you just never know who's going to be sitting around you.
Right.
Or who you're going to run into. And it's interesting how not everyone is aware of the don't go down and sit during, you know, don't try to take your seat during the performances. It's kind of an unwritten rule. It's just something that we all know. So, it's interesting. Of course, you didn't mention her name, but I know what friend you're talking about who was upset. And I can imagine her being upset. She is a very no-nonsense woman.
Now I got...
She was.
I gotta ask, what was the skating like? Or were you so busy with your guests in front of you?
I think the highlight for me was seeing Michelle skate that short program to Rachmaninoff. It was just absolutely gorgeous. And of course, she had skated it well. I had seen her skate it in Philadelphia at Nationals. And then she did go to Worlds. So I had seen it there, too. And so it was, again, there was something about it, though, being in this open kind of environment where people were in shorts and short sleeves, and it just didn't look like a typical skating audience, because usually people are bundled up and sometimes with heavy caps and whatnot on. But this was a summer thing, and it was a big summer thing. I mean, it was in this arena that was well lit, and it's where the hockey team plays. So it was actually an NHL hockey arena. But the skating was wonderful. Enjoyed it. I loved seeing some of the skaters I had never seen, especially the Russian skaters. That was a treat for me, because I'd seen them only on those tapes that you were talking about a few minutes ago.
It was very difficult to see some performances if it wasn't on TV. You look at it now and realize how little they actually show. It's, I mean, in some ways, I guess it seems like they show quite a bit. And on Peacock, we're very lucky because mm-hmm. they show everyone. But back then, you did not have the streaming options, and you basically got the top three or four performances at the most, and you were hoping they were going to show your favorite. Hoping that they would. Because all you had were clips and videos that, you know, people had sent you. You were hoping that you would get to see. And sometimes you did, and sometimes you didn't. We were really at the mercy of the TV networks and what they wanted to show us.
And this was televised. The Goodwill Games was televised mm-hmm. on TBS? Was that what?
TBS and CBS. Yep.
Oh, okay.
Yes, right, yep. CBS and TBS. And ironically enough, I happened to be reading this morning. Mr. Turner lost over $100 million. In producing those.
Wow.
When you added up the money that he spent for his TBS and also prize money, mm-hmm. and I assume travel money for the skaters, I don't know.
Yeah. I'm not surprised. So we had...
Which is why it stopped. The 98 was really the last big one. They were going to have one in Phoenix in 2005. In 2000, they had a winter one, and it was up in Lake Placid. And a lot of the skaters were were professionals. They didn't have the Michelle Kwans and the Todd Eldridges and those skaters, Plushenkos, who were still amateurs. And then in 2001, the real last one was in Brisbane, Australia, and that did not bring in too many people. A lot of American skaters, but that was it.
Yeah.
The idea was good. It was trying to bring the two groups together, and he felt that sport, as long as there was sport, that there would be less animosity, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And the concept, of course, was good after the two boycotts.
Skating was still very popular. And over time, of course, the popularity has waned a bit. But at that time, it was coming off some really, you know, high levels of interest. So it was still, you know, on TV a lot.
Right. Because you had, you know, in 98, it was just a few months after Nagano. And as I was telling you last night, Anne, when we were chatting, you had 92 Olympics, you had 94 Olympics, you had 98 Olympics. You had like three Winter Olympics within such a short amount of time. And then, you know, so and we all know what happened in 94, the popularity was at the height of it. And, you know, it would have been great if these games would have continued on and, you know, beyond. But yeah.
Yeah, that's not what happened. It's interesting. Maybe one of these days we'll sit back and have a conversation about some of the competitions that have come and gone over the years, because there have been quite a few. I mean, people may not realize that the Six Nations that we have on the Grand Prix now are not the Six Nations that started. That China did not have a Grand Prix at the beginning. And there's a lot of, there's a lot of little stories, I think.
Yeah, we could do a whole episode about professional competitions, too. And there were so many of those, too. I always remember watching Ice Wars. That was one of my favorites.
World Pros in Landover was a huge competition for the professional scene. And to be there, there was just the atmosphere. And I don't know when the last one was that was held. I went only one time.
I only went once also.
Yeah.
The problem is that this is why, though, without these kinds of competitions, that we have skaters continuing to skate into their 30s competitively. Because unless they, you know, and many of them start to go to college at the end of this so that they will be, when they do finally leave, will have some background in another. But most of them seem to go on into coaching. Mm-hmm. And so it's a whole different situation that the skaters in the 90s, late 90s, early 2000s had opportunities all over the place with all of these competitions that they had. And they weren't just professionals. They were the ones who had just left professional. But they don't have that opportunity anymore. They don't have those shows.
Yeah, it's changed so much. Maybe we'll do a whole episode on the history of how things have changed over the last 30 years, especially. I feel like since even further back into the 80s, things have just really changed so much. That may not be able to be done in one part either. I think it's going to be like a multiple part episode.
That could be another series, yeah.
Well, Anne, we really appreciate you taking the time to chat with us again. Mm-hmm. We will bring Anne back for a third episode, so you guys can look forward to that. We're going to try to do this once a month as a special episode so that you guys can learn more about the history and some of the cool things that Anne has done in her time as a figure skating fan and as a journalist. Gina, would you let folks know where they can find us?
Well, you can find us at our website. It's thisweekinskating.com, on social media, including the site formerly known as Twitter, at @thiswkinskating, Facebook and Instagram and Threads. It's This Week in Skating. We love your feedback or your questions. You can reach out to us on social media or email us at thisweekinskating@gmail.com.
And if you're enjoying our episodes, please feel free to join us in our Patreon community over at patreon.com/thisweekinskating. That brings us to the end of our episode. Thanks for listening. I'm Daphne.
And I'm Gina.
And you've been listening to This Week in Skating.
Have an ice week, everybody.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month?
They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster.
That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.